Thank y'all for joining me. I know we've had several people in here that have been here pretty much the whole time, which is really the way you should do it. I know it's hard. I feel like I usually attend about half of these between, I don't know, just whatever it seems like. You just don't make them all. But I hope that y'all have. I think if you've read the book, I think that's great. I think if you have an interest in reading the book, you should. John Mark does a really good job of walking through the content. And if you're really intrigued, he and his church, Bridgetown, have put out a lot of content about this. Practicing the Way. Bridgetown has sermons. There's a podcast that he started, but I actually listened to, I think it was on the Bridgetown site the other day, they had a message about just kind of the overall, and it was really good. It almost laid it out. It was only about an hour, but it really made sense. And we've been talking about the, I'll just start with the quote, but the great enemy of spiritual life in our day is hurry. As followers of Jesus, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. The whole point is there's the practices, and you know, you grab the book and the title's kind of catchy and the book's read and it's talking about, you know, eliminating hurry from our lives. But really what John Mark is talking about is it's about following Jesus and how hard it is to follow Jesus today with everything that we have going on in our lives. Not that people's lives haven't always been like that. They're different. I mean, people 100 years ago obviously had different, they had hard lives, but they're different than ours. I think that over the course of the 7 weeks, we've had, and he talks a lot about the practices and about legalism, and you know, there's this, you know, why does it feel legalistic, or can it? And you know, if you go to this church, you know that we are saved by grace, and that's an important thing to remember. And that is the gospel truth. But if you read the Gospels, Jesus doesn't just go around forgiving everyone of their sins. The second thing he says is to follow him. And I think that's where, if you have been forgiven of your sins, I think that's where the salvation message stops and where this book picks up. It says, come and follow me. And how do we do that? And hurry is one reason that it is hard to follow him. If we stop at accepting Jesus's salvation from our sins, we are really selling short the gospel message. And so I'm not here to, if legalism is the word that pops into your mind, I will say Jesus is interested in transformation. And I think that's an important thing to remember. If you don't, you know, I don't know if we have Michael's, the podcast I listened to the other day made a great example. Michael's an athlete. Different people in here have different abilities. You might be able to go out and run a mile with no training. You might be able to go out and run a 5K or a 10K with no training if you don't run. It's going to be really, really hard to go out and do an Ironman with no training. And I think that in that vein, I think some of us have come to church over the years. We have accepted the forgiveness of our sins, and we come in and out of church and we go back to our normal lives, And we are frustrated with the sin in our lives, or we struggle with generosity, or we struggle with service, or we struggle with loving our families. And why is that? I think it's because our faith is not a whole lot different than these other things in our life that we practice. Training for an ultra marathon or triathlon is a great example. We cannot come to church and ask for forgiveness of our sins and expect our whole life to be transformed. I think that some of that, our lives will be transformed as we practice spiritual disciplines. So, probably got some, we have people in here that are a lot more knowledgeable about these things than I am, but as I was listening to this week, I think it's important to bring this full cycle and get away from the idea of legalism. And I just really liked the idea of transformation. It just made a lot of sense to me. So we need to think of ourselves as disciples and apprentices. And it's a lot of why we serve this church the way we do, why we have community groups, why we have service teams. So the goal the whole time that John Mark's been talking about is the goal is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. They use this example of the broad door and the narrow way. The broad door is the grace, the salvation message, but the narrow way might be the hard part where Jesus actually calls us to follow him. Mark 8:34 says, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.'" I'm working with this group right now, and we brought this. It's a nonprofit, and it's not run terribly. It's definitely functional. And you know, if you're on the outside, you might even say successfully, but it's run very much as a sort of a leader with 1,000 helpers, instead of people taking functional ownership of all these different parts. And so we brought this consultant in from Kansas City, and you know, he had this great, that was the first meeting, first time that he came in town. And I could tell that people were, he's done this no telling how many times. He's gone around and pitched this. And what he said made a ton of sense. And it was somewhat motivational. And I knew that people would buy in. But I also knew that what he was saying was, and I did to some extent while he was there, but I knew that after he left, you know, it's up to us to do the work. And sure enough, he was in town about a month ago. And, you know, as we're trying to build out these various leadership positions, you know, when it comes to that, executing sort of the plan that he's laid out is significantly harder than hearing it, right? And I think I don't know if that's a great example, but it just kind of led me just thinking about the Christian walk and how at different times in our lives we feel this the Lord calling us for whatever reason. I know that I've had at certain times in my life felt convicted, said, "I got to get my life right." Definitely when I joined this church, which took me a long time, and that's when the hard work starts. Jesus died for our sins. We're forgiven by grace, but But he is definitely interested in us, I think, doing work to transform our lives on a daily basis. And I think that's where these practices come in. So Matthew 7 says, "And everyone then who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. So, the four practices that we've talked about: silence and solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, and slowing. Silence and solitude. I don't think it's a coincidence it's the first one he talks about. I think that to me, this is the most important of the practices. If you're not finding time to be alone with God, reading His Word and praying, I would strongly encourage you to do that. Start with 5 minutes. It's really going to be hard to mature in your faith, to grow without talking to the Lord on a daily basis, without spending time in His Word, outside of church. Sabbath, this idea of setting time aside. This is one that people this day and age might think is the goofiest, but I think is kind of interesting. And I think if you actually do the work to do this, you'll probably enjoy it. It's really just about finding a 24-hour cycle to not do any work, and that includes work around the house or kind of a digital detox. And a big part of Sabbath is doing the prep work so that you can do that. We've done it a couple times. It's hard. It's easy once you get in it. The prep is hard, and not doing anything during that time is hard, especially if you have a family. The third is simplicity. Simplicity strikes me as one that is, as much as one we intentionally practice and also sort of flows out of the rest of our lives. We're already following Jesus. Simplicity of things. It's a simplicity of schedule. He talks a lot about finances in that chapter. A simplicity of things that just practically makes room for us to be more generous in our personal lives. And slowing. Slowing is also one that's to me, sort of flows out of the others, but also one that you can actively pursue. But, you know, he talks about not changing lanes in traffic and not changing lanes at the grocery store. I don't know. He lists about 20 different things that you can do, but it's actually pretty hard to do those, even if you're not in a hurry. If you're on a four-lane road, it's hard not to change lanes, but... So he talks about dumb phones. He talks about all the things that we've talked about, and it's different for different people. But so those are the four practices. Like I told y'all at the beginning, I read the book about a year ago, and just like John said, we read a lot of books. They sound good, but we don't do anything. That's what I did. But going through it slowly and talking about it has gotten me into it a little more. So I've enjoyed it. I really have. It's I don't know that I you know, the whole thing, he talks about the practice, not perfection. So, you know, I feel like it's made me a little more intentional with my phone. It's made me a little more intentional with my kids. I've enjoyed reading a paper Bible for the first time, maybe ever. So, but it's really just this idea of just kind of made me at least just pointed things out to me in my own life. So, but anybody have any thoughts?
I do. I'm Savannah. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm here for the month working at the hospital, so this is my second time. I came last week too. But we were talking about like the grocery store line thing, and so the next day I was at the grocery store and did choose to get in the longest line, and it took about 30 minutes, which was a really long time. But I stuck it out and stayed the whole time. And so then I was walking out to the parking lot, and there was like an elderly man that was really having trouble walking up to the front door and everything. And so I had the opportunity to like help him get to the front door, and I probably wouldn't have had that chance if I would have gone in the self-checkout like I normally would have. And so I was really thankful that I like stayed and then had an opportunity to help someone. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think whenever, whether it's sermons or books, that you pray, Lord, what do I need to get out of this? What do you want me to concentrate on? Because, you know, a lot of us may have the same things, but God knows what he needs to deal with first before we can get there. And because I know there's times I'm praying for Jonathan and I think I know what he needs, but then I have to remind myself, God, you know what he needs first. And so I need you to show me. So when you're reading, it's like, God, bring out the things that I need to change. And so you're not legalistic, because he does meet us where we're at and what we need at that time to get us where he wants us to be.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I read in the first beginning part of the book was talking about our interactions at church. That's kind of the example he led into of when we see someone, we greet them, you know, how are you doing? The first answer most people are going to go, oh, just busy. You know, that's so-and-so's going on, you know, we're just busy. But it's such a default answer, and it really prevents us from engaging in honest conversations. I think in a way we can use that busyness, or at least for me, of not going deep. You know, just I can have a conversation really quick. It's going to be very superficial. It's going to get you off my back, and we can end it really quick. You know, yeah, I'm busy, just like you're busy. Well, I got lies. We're you know, hate the craziness. You know, well, hey, hope your day gets better. Bye. You know, so for me, I'm trying to be a lot more intentional. This one asks, you know. Not going straight into that, but let's, you know, hey, yeah, this is kind of what my week has looked like a little bit. Trying to have better conversations with that. And then last week, as I was reading, and I don't know, again, just my own convictions and kind of what I'm seeing through the book, what it's showing me is that, you know, this ruthless elimination of hurry, what does it necessarily have to look like? Do we walk in with the expectation that, okay, well, I just eliminate this and eliminate this from my life and change this, that it's going to get better. When it's so much more like, I've got kids. You know, they have busy lives. They've got schedule. They've got sports. We have places we've got to be. Sometimes our work's going to be demanding. We can't eliminate life, you know, from it. It's that mindset now. It's like, how am I going to view this? How am I going to approach the task for today? Am I going to approach it with this mindset of, I'm going to be stressed, I'm going to be anxious, I'm going to be upset about it because there's just so much to do? Or am I going to take those moments of like, while I'm in the busyness, while I'm at, whether I'm taking a kid to practice or I am waiting in line at the grocery store, whatever, am I taking those moments to give myself calm and peace, to take those thoughts captive in those moments and practice peace and Sabbath in those hours of the day that I can. So it's it's much more of a mindset change as well, as well as just actions, what you're doing and changing in life. How am I going to frame the way I'm going to view the life God has given me to lead in those directions?
Yes, sir.
I love his point, and I want to piggyback off what he said. You know, I'm usually the one that usually shuts down conversations quick, keep them short. But the last year, I've actually started talking, you know, having more conversations, because usually, you know, my wife will talk and have conversations, but I usually don't. When, like you said earlier about the busy, like, I'll just say, oh, I'm busy, or this and that, you know, I had a busy week or something, and I try to throw out something to kind of end conversations a lot of times. But for the last year, I started actually talking a lot more. So, yeah, I like that point you brought up here.
Yeah. One, I think it's loving. You know, I mean, even talking about the grocery store, he talks about, you know, don't get on your phone, you know. You don't know the teller, but, you know, maybe they've had a terrible week or day or whatever, and now you're there and looking at their phone, treating them like they're some sort of, you know, it's transactional, or, you know, just be present. But I think you're right. It is a, like, all these practices, but there is just like a, also there is like a, like an overall mindset of just like slowing down and like being present. So yeah, you could do three or four, you know, three of these practices, and really not change the rest of your life. And the rest of your life might still look the same. But, you know, is that walking like Jesus did? Probably not, you know. And so that's where I think it's important to get away from this, like, checking the box of the practices. We've talked about that. You know, like, don't look at this as, it's not a to-do list. It's not something else to do. The idea is that the practices would help us achieve, through these practices, maybe that helps us slow down our lives, but it's nothing to accomplish. So, yeah. Anybody else?
Okay, I have something, and I know I don't usually talk, but this might sound backwards to people, but in my head, this makes sense to me. I know the book is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which elimination sometimes is a negative word to me, because I think of, like, you know, diets and eating healthy. It's like, well, we're going to take all these things away because you're trying to do just this. And so I guess if you look at just like adding the little things and focusing on those, in turn, you do eliminate the things that are creating the hurry.
Absolutely. I mean, he talks about, I haven't totally seen this, but practicing a Sabbath, how it changes the rest of your week. Definitely simplicity can. But yeah, no, I think that's definitely right.
Also, we don't do this out of willpower. This is God's will for us. He wants us to do this. He wants to help us with it. He wants us to succeed in this area, be blessed, and bless others. It is not something we choose to do out of willpower. Yeah. Part of it, but
yeah, you got to get started. But yeah.
Jason, yes. Just thinking about over the past weeks what we've learned and discussed in here, and just asking God, like she said, what have I learned? What is this for me? Lord, what are you trying to teach me and remind me of? And a couple of things that, just thinking about all this and reading the book, that God has brought home to me is to remind me whose I am. And do I fear God more, or do I fear man more? And so that's one point that he's just reminded me of through this. And then the second thing is misplaced affections, like, you know, what is really priority in my life. And he brought remind me of this thing years ago when our kids were at home. Natalie was already in college, but I would get the little ones started in school, and then I would go to the library and get Molly and Chip started. Molly wasn't late, and Chip would already be started. And then I'd wait a little while, go tend to the little ones, go back to the library, she still wasn't there, and that would go on for like a couple of hours. And so after months of this, I finally said, I went upstairs and there she was in her dormer window reading her Bible, having her prayer time. After we had all done that, you know, when she was still doing it, and I just got frustrated and I said, honey, it's a left to right world out there. We want to be part of it. It's time to start school. And so anyway, she came down dutifully, and years later in college, she called me one day just crying. And here's my misplaced affections. I said, Molly, what's wrong? Are you hurt? Are you sick? Are you in harm's way? You know? And she said, no, ma'am. She was in piano performance and pedagogy. And so to find those 3-hour practice slots in the practice room, she had to get them really, really early in the morning or really, really late at night. And she said, no, ma'am, I can't find time to have my quiet time. And, you know, here I am worried about what was wrong with her, and she was more worried about her soul, you know, and her time with the Lord. And then later, we were having a disciple now at our church, at our house with the youth, and the pastor was talking, and our son just came under heavy, heavy conviction, so much so that the pastor stopped. We got him up on the couch, and Chip, everybody, you know, eventually people left, but almost till midnight, we prayed over him. People would read scripture, sing songs, and he was saved that night. But at one point, I heard Molly reading scripture, and I opened up my eyes, and she was quoting long passages of scripture. And later we were to find out that those mornings, she was in her quiet time up in the morning window, she was praying scripture over her brother that she knew wasn't saved. And so this just kind of reminded me of those things that, do I really fear God more or do I really fear man more? And where are my affections? Are they really prioritized with what the Lord wants me to do? And anyway, I don't know if that makes sense, but anyway, that's what God has shown me.
These are the roses. Yes. If you haven't been in a community group with them, I hope you get the chance. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for sharing so much this class. I've enjoyed what you've had to say.
I hadn't read the book. I've read part of it, but Diana's been reading lots of excerpts to me. She's been really touched by it and impressed with his spirituality and his it's been good. And you know, I think about, well, you know, I already don't have anything on my calendar for the rest of the week, so over scheduling is usually not my problem, but my walk with the Lord still needs a lot of work. So these things that you were emphasizing this morning and that he has emphasized has still had an effect on me and still drives me to make sure I prioritize that time spending with him, because my walk still has a long way to go.
Well, you're probably a lot like my wife's dad, who constantly needs to be productive, doing something. And
I need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see you Sabbath, Michael. I think you... Like, I can do a rest.
Wow, call me out.
It's because I feel lazy when I talk to you. I'm jealous of your productivity. Well, maybe, but, you know, I think that, you know, if there's someone here that, you know, you're naturally drawn to, maybe don't start there. Maybe start somewhere that feels super hard. You know, I don't know. Just throwing that out there. But, let me see here. I mean, there are ones on there that I'm naturally, I'm like, oh, sounds interesting, that maybe my house, you know, my wife feels differently. Well, I'm not helping her if I pick the ones that are already easy for me, right? But did anybody ever Sabbath in here? Did anybody do that? 7 weeks? No? But It's, let's see here. Jeff had his baby, still sent us a study guide this week. So, Jeff is the new core class. I don't know what his title is.
Coordinator,
yes.
But Jeff is super nice if y'all haven't met him. But he's my boss. Kyle sent him an email the day after he had his baby. Congratulations. What are we supposed to talk about this week? So let's see here. Well, I hope that y'all have enjoyed this. I told y'all early on I was supposed to only be here 2 weeks. And Kyle was going to do the rest of it, but too many people showed up that first week, which is good. And it's but is there any confusion? Do we need to tighten anything up here? Depending on the week, it's been and if you haven't read the book, which is fine. I mean, that's why they have these classes. But we don't want to send people out of here with. We don't want to do any spiritual damage in here. And it's even more, you know, we've got people in here that are visiting the church that haven't been here for a long time. And it's really frightening, to be honest with you, that I would be a major impression of, you know, what they think this place is about. So, but what do you think, Jen? We're going to Sabbath anymore? We didn't really talk about it this weekend, but just practically it didn't.
This did. Wow, we're just dealing with some other issues, sleep issues in the house, so we didn't really focus on Sabbathing.
Yeah.
And we couldn't really do any silence and solitude all weekend.
That's a tough one.
So, I like Sabbathing. But yeah, I think the hardest part is the prep work. Like all of a sudden it was like 3:30 on Friday and I was like, oh my gosh, I never went to the grocery store and I have no clean clothes for the kids. I need to wash and dry and fold everything. I don't know. The prep work's hard.
Yeah.
But none of our kids right now have weekend, like Saturday activities.
Yeah.
Like Taylor has Sunday activities, but had like soccer games and baseball tournaments and like that's tough. It's just a tough season. So I don't know. I like what you said, or you said several times, like just start with a couple hours where you just unplug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to piggyback on that, I think that this series has come in a timely time when a lot of us have started back school with children and sports, and our activity levels ramped up from being more quiet in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But even with all of that, it's been good, and you can still find time to do something, whether it be at night, Norm and I being mindful of putting our phones in another room, and we have 30, 45 minutes, an hour with Nathan before we go to bed to communicate and talk without looking at our phones. I mean, just something small like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I was thinking about the community groups that we are beginning here and how maybe to some beginning that it's just another box you have to check, but then how wonderful it is, and you do experience some of those practices in the community groups.
Sure. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed the class. It was great. I mean, the first day of it, I was like, wow, because, I mean, when you had the lion chairs up all on the wall and all up front, because there were so many people in there, like, I picked a good one, but I love all the practices and everything like that, but I was like, wow.
I think it's supposed to go the other way. I think it's supposed to start small and build up.
Yeah. All the way down the wall in front everywhere. People outside the door were trying to come
we
in.
We did have one class that week, I'll say. But... yeah, I mean, I think if we're thinking about these, I mean, kind of going, I mean, it is easy when the church is watching out after us. And I think keeping us in community is a big part of that. And there is this natural part of us, I think, when you know, there's sort of an expectation that we'll do something as opposed to just a total voluntary sign-up. It can feel a little... I'm not sure, I don't want to say it takes the joy out of it, but depending on your personality type, like, I gotta do community group. But I think if we can get around that and just sort of, like, community group's a great one, like, just embrace it. And, you know, they change every year, and, I mean, I love the opportunity of meeting new people every year and it being multi-generational. But... yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that community groups are a great time to take time out of our busy week and slow down a little bit. But, you know, and I think when we're looking at these, we've got to remember, and we've talked about this, we talk about Sabbath, you know, taking a break from our phones. And, you know, if you're thinking about doing any of these, is it... you know, we say, well, I can't do that. And maybe that's true. But I think a lot more often it's we don't want to do it or we're making excuses. And so, you know, just really think through how your mind works and see if it's not one of those other answers. So, yeah.
End class?
Huh?
End class?
End it?
Is it ended?
It is for you. You're welcome to leave. You don't need a hall pass.
Give everybody 10 minutes of silence.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. I like that idea.
We can end it. Does anybody else have anything? Did I sow any confusion with my opening monologue there? I just felt...
No, it was good.
Yeah, so I've been hitting on this the whole time. I think the why is really important. Why do we care? Why do we want to do any of this? So all practices and disciplines to help us follow Jesus. So, all right. Thank y'all. I'll end it early. We can get coffee or something. Father, we thank you for... this chance to get together and to study your word. And we thank you for this book that John Mark has written and this reminder to follow you, to actively pursue you, to spend time with you, to slow down the rest of our lives, to simplify, to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer, and for those of us that are parents, to be an example to our kids of these practices. I thank you for the work that you've done in my own life and studying and discussing the book. I pray that the lessons that we've talked about would stick with us and carry outside of these walls. We thank you for all the many blessings in our lives. Amen. Amen.
What
y'all doing?
Going to eat breakfast, lunch.
Strong's? Y'all go to Strong's a lot?
We used to always go to Strong's before we came to core class, and now that we don't get out of core class till later, we've been eating Mexican.
Where's that?
Just a...
we'll say one in Palestine more than we do.
Oh, he's played.
Yeah, yeah, it's even worse. We're like,
Jared goes there a lot.
It's okay. I mean, it's like, you know, chips and sauce is good. It's by the house. Right. It's easy. The last few times we've been to Superior, it was like, not. It just had to be good.
Still rice and beans, you shouldn't talk to 100 bucks.
Yeah. Well, some of their servings aren't that big either.
I like, last time I got my favorite salad, you know, the good salad. Like, it wasn't good. Like, I had it twice,
well,
and I was like, it's
one,
not
the
good.
Superior salad? Or the
Mississippi chicken. Yes. Yeah, that's a disappointment now.
It's not good anymore. Like, that's the only reason I went to Superior is because I love the salad.
Anyway, not good. I quit eating salad there.
Well, I know. That's why anyway, but yeah.
You got me on the puppy taco.
I don't know if what I said made any sense. I think
I've been
talking about like my dieting lately, and instead of looking at things I can't have, I just focus on eating more vegetables and fruit, and then I don't want all the crap because us would replace it with good things.
That's how I felt for 7 weeks. No, it was good.
So I meant it like that in a positive way. Not like, after I said it, I was like, did that make sense? You did a very good job. You've done great.
It's a long time.
What are y'all doing today?
Yeah, I understand. A lot of prep. Well, they got me involved. Like,
taking a nap.
No video?
And what do you say?
I'll say, go read the book.
I mean, when somebody asks you, if you mind finishing it, I mean, what do you tell them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
When are you going out to tomorrow?
No, we're leaving about 1 o'clock.
Today? Oh. How far a drive is that?
8 hours. We'll be back Wednesday.
Okay. Well, you're going to do other work while you're up there?
I'm just going up there for him to harvest and look at everything.
Like, then I'm going to be behind when I get back.
Huh?
Then you're going to be behind on the other?
It is what it is. They're going to go to Monroe on Thursday. So. Get it all done. Go in early.
We didn't do it a ton yesterday. Me and Abe went out, we got coffee and dinner together. Chilled, ran a couple of hours. Stayed at home most of the day.
I got a couple
meals
cooked
in
the refrigerator.
Jen got me back. She's like, go ahead and wrap it up.
Jeez. I think it's time to end. No, but I like the book. It's, I'm just slowly going to go through it. So,
and then we'll have to slowly go through it again.
She will, yeah.
I kind of would like to do it.
Yeah,
you got to
slowly implement it.
Right. But again, I mean,
that's nothing.
I mean, Johnny, not probably like the show.
No, it's like if you don't do this, if you're trying to do this 24/7 every week, if you miss 1 week, the chances of you doing it the next week is like,
that's exactly what
it's like 40% reduced.
Last week,
you missed
ours
twice.
Was like, we didn't even mention it this week.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
you're this thing's going
like completely done in 2 weeks in a row. It's like a Yep, quadruple. Yeah, he went to the Mabry House last night. Today we're going to Hero Cafe.
What's up, Monarchs?
How was that?
Doing well.
Y'all like
it. Sad. I mean, it's just so different.
His mom had it, plus handling it so well.
I mean, and I mean,
me all leaving.
Really thirsty.
It's a very common surgery.
Of wisdom that helps interpret the world